Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better, and everybody do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your fans behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. It is an Optimism Tuesday edition of 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford, a full house.
Yes, I love technology.
As it is.
But not as much as you, you see. But I still love technology. Always and forever.
Anybody else know that reference?
No.
It's Napoleon Dynamite.
Up top.
There you go. Optimism Tuesday. Off to a great start here in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios.
Yes. Always.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good Optimism Tuesday when it's good.
Well, at least we're
up and running.
Yeah. And, you know, T-minus one day till your shot caller trivia.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for bringing that up right off the top like that. It's great.
Billy, you been working on the questions?
I have been. I have about 15 so far.
Ah.
Halfway home.
A little bit of fishing, a little bit of music.
A little bit of fishing.
A little bit of Tennessee.
I had a dream that we asked you all deep sea fishing questions, and you got so angry because you're like, this is not the type of fishing I do.
I do all kinds of fishing.
Well, I know, but it was just in my dream that was...
I'm not scared.
We're going to test just how much you know about fishing.
Good. Bring it on.
They don't call him Crankbait Kress for nothing.
They don't. They don't really call me that. Bear does.
Bear does.
Bear did.
And Bear won the trivia, and somehow, miraculously. Davey, at one point, I think when he drew Automatic Death on Friday, said, you'd think we staged this. And I was like, it's like sports. If we staged it, it wouldn't be as good. Like, it just, it's better with the randomness that just comes with the game.
It's true. I can't believe I drew that after he said.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now I'm really excited. Really, thanks for the Optimism Tuesday.
No, no problem.
Firing start.
Well, that's optimistic for the listener.
I do have a question.
No, you get 30 tomorrow. None today. Sorry.
I'm
an oil man.
I was going to try to help you out, but forget it.
No, what help? How are you going to help me?
I was going to ask if I could break the rules a little bit.
What does that mean?
So let's say,
Davey yanks.
Hey, Davey, throw some WD-40 on that for me if you don't mind.
Let's say there. I ask a question about who holds the passing record for Tennessee in a single season.
Bay Manning.
You're able to get the answer right if you can also get how many yards or whatever the question may be. I'll take a question away.
No.
I feel like that'd be pretty impressive.
There's no way I'll get the actual yardage to the yard.
It's just an example.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, if it's touchdowns, you could possibly be closer.
I think you should have to risk it maybe like around the world style.
Oh, okay.
So
there's additional questions?
Well, no, I mean, you can ask the second part hard question, and he can say, yeah, I think I got a good feeling about this. If I get it right, then I get two questions taken off. But if I get it wrong, double shock.
It's funny that you love that so much.
I don't know, something like that. What do you think?
I thought it'd be fun.
Kind of an upcharge,
just a little,
so to speak.
A little twist to it.
You get to make the call. I don't know.
We'll
maybe
see.
That
we'll
won't.
See.
Well, maybe that doesn't work.
Play it by ear. Let's play it by ear.
No, you play it around your neck. That's where the shot caller goes.
Did you write that one yourself?
Did you find my foam? Is that on today's to-do list?
Today's to-do list.
Okay. Yeah. We found the tape, though. We're good to go.
Yeah, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, appreciate it. Way to do it, Hodges.
No problem.
Way to knock that one off the old punch list there.
Hey, man, stuff disappears around here. You know how it goes.
Yeah, it's fine. I got plenty of tape.
Oh, okay.
We're not short on tape. Tape.
Well, it's right, color and everything. That was great.
Yeah, it's good. It's tough to find black duct tape.
It's half the thing.
Only any hardware store.
Well, you don't have to
grocery
go there
store
now anymore.
Man, I got to go somewhere to get foam. They probably sell duct tape there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get your helmet.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
All right. That's good. How are we feeling Tuesday? Another day removed. You said you watched more of Tennessee-Mississippi State again yesterday.
Did I say that? I don't think I said that.
Yeah, you did.
When did I say that?
You said more.
You said you watched more of the game.
Not all.
Not all of the game.
When did I say this?
Yesterday.
I said a question in the group DMs and said, Houston, have you watched the game yet?
Yeah. So I watched.
You said more, not all.
Right.
So you watched some more of the game.
Yeah.
How?
I just didn't remember saying that. I apologize. Oh,
that's okay. Any takeaways?
Yeah,
changes,
you guys are
rebuttals?
Still poo-pooing the game, saying, oh, if you watched the game, you wouldn't feel this guy. I feel great. Tennessee's defense is back. That's where I'm at. Maurer looked good outside of the one pick. Good play by Mississippi State on the first one, though. And then the Scorpion.
Yeah, the Scorpion play.
I didn't realize that that had happened before he threw the second pick.
Right. Yeah.
Might have been an issue.
Yeah, Jeremy Pruitt was asked about that. He was asked if they should have evaluated Maurer as soon as he got the concussion, you know, because it wasn't, like, obviously he got the concussion on the Scorpion play, throws a pick after. Pruitt got a little testy, the media. It's like, well, maybe we should evaluate every player every play, every time they have a get hit. I don't think that'd be possible. I don't think we have enough time.
I mean, if he's not showing any symptoms, it didn't look like he landed on his head. It looked like he just got scorpioned in the back bent.
Yeah, I didn't think, watching it live, I was afraid.
It didn't look like a typical big concussion
right.
play. Yeah,
I was afraid that his back would be injured. Neck. Maybe his neck would be injured.
I broke my back.
Not that he would have a concussion. Because it didn't seem to make, I didn't think he hit his head that hard on the ground. But
I didn't either. Yeah, that felt like an attacking, like, now that I know all the information, I'm going to go at you and say you did something wrong. And I didn't feel like Tennessee did anything wrong.
I didn't either.
It didn't.
It was a situation.
It's not like he laid on the field or got up all wobbly. He was hurt because he scorpioned. But that felt like felt like a trap question.
Did anybody notice that he fell down after handing the football off on the next play, somebody said? Maybe that's what people are, I don't know.
I thought
he
just tripped.
Live, but that was brought up during voluntary reaction.
I thought he just tripped.
Maybe so.
He gets back there quickly, so I thought maybe he just has
quick feet.
Yeah, I thought maybe he just got a little ahead of himself on the on the steps.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was a big deal. I thought it was funny that somebody would ask Pruitt that question the way he answered it. Well, maybe we should evaluate every player when they hit someone after every play.
That would take a lot of time.
But I don't think
it would really slow the game down.
I don't think we have time for that. That's what he said.
I did like his game plan for Alabama. He totally divulged the secret.
Did he?
We're onside kicking every time. We're going for it on fourth down every time.
Hmm.
Genius. I would actually be okay if we did that.
I would too.
You ain't going to win.
Yeah?
Unless you get 10 onside kicks in a row and just kick field goals or score touchdowns. So I say go for it.
And a 70-yard play for Alabama is just as easy as a 15-yard pass.
Maybe easier because of their speed.
I mean,
I'm not kidding. They're more likely to hit that play probably than a touchdown from the 10-yard line.
You know, you might be onto something.
I know.
Shrink the field.
Yeah. If you're going to give it to him, give him a shorter field. Less to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You got more guys in the box.
Tua can probably throw it, I don't know, 65, 75 yards. Don't let him. I mean, there's nobody in the world who can cover, you know, Ruggs, Judy. Who was the kid who had 5 touchdowns a couple games ago?
Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith.
He suspended for the first half for throwing a punch.
Oh, good.
Well, but that's one less person to beat in the paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah.
You know, tournament. Yeah.
That's what Tua wants to do, though. He wants the big play. Hardly ever do you see Alabama take what the defense gives them.
And, yeah, their red zone scoring must be atrocious this year.
Yeah, those bums. No, they're a huge play offense. There's big plays and there's huge plays. Alabama's huge play. That Ole Miss clinic by Devontae Smith was ridiculous. They couldn't cover the guy. The other two corners were doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ruggs got hurt, but then came back in. But they were okay with Ruggs. They did a good job on Judy. Then they got to number 3, and that corner could not stay in front of Devontae Smith, and they just big played Ole Miss to death. I don't know what we're going to do.
What do you think about Pruitt saying Brian Maurer took some reps at practice, you know, yesterday?
He's in the protocol. They're just they're watching him. I'm sure he's got doctors on his hip. They're checking him.
I mean, don't you say, listen, buddy, I know you could play. This is a different game, but we're just going to tell everybody as an extra precaution. Like we're not going to roll him out there, right?
Yeah, man. Like, he's probably going to start. I don't know how long he'll play, but I would say if he's, you know, not concussed, they're going to start him.
Yeah. Is it to the point there's not even a reason to try the strategy point with, we might not know who's going to be playing quarterback for us just due to Brian Maurer's injury. Kind of like a Joe Moorhead strategy.
Oh, yeah. We're going to trick Alabama. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're going to prepare for Garantano all week, and then boom, we hit him with Maurer.
Yeah, surprise.
4 touchdowns later, and it's a ball game. I don't know.
And it's 52-28.
They probably got somebody on the staff who still has a lot of contacts down in Alabama who's willing to leak the information.
Did you catch during the game? I think you joked about this, Houston, during the week last week. Or maybe it was on our – it might have just been in our threat. But so Bob Shoop's son is a walk-on at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Jay Shoop.
And somebody at some point joked that they would have, like, kicked him off the team for this week. And we kind of laughed. But then – during the game broadcast, they basically said they quarantined him and didn't let him come to practice all week.
Good. Good.
They're like, blood's thicker than water and all that stuff. I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't have shared anything with his dad, but they made sure he didn't come to practice.
Dad, you're not going to believe it. Jared Garantano's going to play. Be ready. By the way, they're going to run it a lot. Okay, that's all I got. See you later.
Watch for the end around by Dominic Wood Anderson.
5 yards.
The throwback to Juwan Jennings. That's probably why they knew. They had that covered like a blanket until he took off and ran for 22 yards down the sideline.
Well, that's why he's the dog. He's tough. He's tough.
Even when it doesn't work, he makes it work.
It works.
Yep.
That's Juwan Jennings. What can you say?
Pruitt also said Alabama could score 100 points anytime they wanted to. Something like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
You love to see that.
He said Saban has to rein them in, which might make them worse in big games or something like that. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
He said they might be worse in big games?
He said it might hurt them, I think. That's the way I interpret it, that he means,
okay.
You know.
Maybe this is the game, if I'm being optimistic, where Saban makes the point of the rat poison is getting to the players. Like, it's their first night game.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have the light show. So Saban's like, you know what? This is the one where I could coach him to a bigger victory, but I'm going to kind of let them falter a little bit.
Is that where we're
at?
We're hoping for just Saban taking his foot off the gas? That's our game plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pruitt said, I said this last year and I'll say it again this year. They have to really work hard to not score 100 points a game. Coach Saban has been kind. He was kind to us last year, and he has been kind to a lot of teams. And he had been kind to a lot of teams last year. Almost to the point of, does it hurt their football team down the road because they don't have an opportunity to play 4 quarters?
It is what it is.
Because that's the opposite of Clemson last year.
Because
Clemson rested everybody. This is what Bama got in trouble last year, because they didn't rest anybody ever.
Because there will be a point in time that they have to play four quarters. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Jeremy, that's the opposite of what happened last year. They played too much, and right. They got banged up, and they were tired, and Clemson was fresh.
And they're banged up this year. I mean, not so much, I wouldn't say because of this, but
no, they're just
banged up.
Yeah, they're just not as healthy as they could be. I still don't think their defense is that good.
Well, it's not as good as it has been.
I don't think it's that good, relatively speaking, to the league right now.
Where would you put it in the league if you had to?
It's almost impossible
middle?
To rate
middle?
The daggum thing because the offense is so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's their thing. It's like, what does it matter if the defense is that good? Because, as Pruitt said, they can score 100. I don't know about 100. They can certainly score a lot. But I don't know. I mean, let me look here. Kellen Mond was 24 of 42, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. They ran for 28 carries, 125. That's 4.5 a carry. Let's see.
While you're looking that up,
Alabama did have 5 sacks, but I mean, 42 attempts. I probably a lot more dropbacks.
For Alabama, Texas A&M has played them the closest the last 2 years during the regular season.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Auburn might have a better defense, mm-hmm. but they're just not going to have nearly as good a team because
they do have a better defense.
The offense is so, you know, just so good at Alabama. You just don't know. I mean, you give Nick Saban the benefit of the doubt. That
I mean, South Carolina scored 23 on Alabama. I know a couple of them were late, but still. Georgia only gave up 20. And overtime. Took overtime to get to 20.
I'll look up how many points they gave up
in the first
half. I think
South Carolina had one late one. I think they, I don't know. The refs in that game were, somebody said awful. For
Ole Miss
teams.
Scored 31. They had 14 in the fourth quarter.
Using that mobile quarterback?
If we score 31 points, I'll feel good. Ole Miss scored 31 but gave up 59.
Yeah.
It'll get you beat. 31 points in the second quarter in that one for Alabama.
Okay, assume Tennessee covers the spread by a smidge. Let's say it's a 30-point game. 28-point game, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
Would you prefer it to be more on the lower, like an under game, where you come out with it saying, you know, I do think Tennessee's defense is a little better. They didn't give up that, you know, they didn't give up 59.
What are you saying, like 37-7?
Yeah, or would you prefer the offense to look better against Alabama, but the defense just gets, you know, boat racing, it's 60-30.
Probably the offense to look better.
Yeah?
I think I'd rather lose like 70-31.
Okay, then 37-7?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to go to 70.
They can score 100 whenever they want, according to Jeremy Pruitt, so I figured I'd just give them, you know, a nice...
Optimism Tuesday. No, seriously, would you rather come out...
I'd like to see a score.
Okay.
Yeah. If they get to 70, so be it. Like, that's...
But if it's like 14... If it's like 17-0 going in the fourth quarter, you're like, man, our defense has really done a great job.
Can I get 17-3?
Sure.
Okay. If it's 17-3 going to the fourth quarter, I'll be pretty happy.
All right.
Unless they score like 31 in a quarter like they did against Ole Miss.
No, I'm just saying they only score like 28 for the
whole
game.
I would like them to have to play four quarters.
All right.
To Jeremy Pruitt's point. I want them to have to play four quarters. You know. Jeremy Pruitt's pretty familiar with that Alabama team.
That's true.
Through 6 games, Alabama's given up 43 points in the first half.
All right.
Only give up 3 to Duke.
It helped Pruitt last year knowing Alabama.
What are you doing? I don't even have to. I could have had my eyes closed and known that you were making a sarcastic statement.
Wasn't me.
What are you doing? Well, how did it help him, Billy?
It didn't. That was my point.
Oh, I thought you said it did.
You said it did.
I was being sarcastic. Because you said.
Oh.
Pruitt knows.
Don't
Alabama.
Get facetious on me. Don't you get facetious.
It was year one, Billy. Year
Andy!
One. Don't worry about it.
Do you think it...
Aunt
do you
B's
think
making marmalade now.
...will be better than 58-21?
Is that what it was last year? 58-21? Mm-hmm. I think it will be. I think we can score more than 21. We might give up more than 58. You know, last year, not to brag, but this was one of the games where Tua got banged up. We hit him. I think he got taken out of the game after that hit. Might have derailed their whole season.
He had a pick six. Heisman Award. Is that
Kyle Phillips.
Oh, yeah, Kyle Phillips.
Well, if
Floyd
you had
Miller.
Any, if you had
that's
any,
a couple years ago,
just, yeah, it's a long way back.
They're still both
defensive
ends.
It's like 6 years ago.
Corey Miller, he's like
defensive
like
ends.
All our 30-point Alabama losses are running together for me. I apologize.
That's fair.
He's already coached at Tennessee and South Carolina.
Hold on, Tennessee's had two pick six against Tua and back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, Betuli.
One was against Jalen.
What about that?
One was Jalen Hurts.
It was?
Yeah.
I thought it was when Tua came
sure?
in.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
Check the tape on that one. I don't know if I trust this guy.
I feel like he's right, but I'm not 100% sure.
I don't remember.
I know he's right.
Okay, against Alabama.
What?
Two back-to-back pick sixes against Alabama.
Defense scoring points.
Yeah, right.
Helping the
one was over 100 yards. Or close to it.
Well, don't you worry, Houston. Pruitt's got an extra little sauce this week because, you know, it's a big rivalry. He said, if this week doesn't kind of get you going right there.
Man, that fired me up. If this week doesn't get you going right there, woo!
He said, well, if you know anything about this rivalry, which I do, anybody
thanks, Jeremy, appreciate
anybody
it.
Anybody that's been associated with this rivalry over their lifetime, know it's a... No, it's a pretty special event or ball game.
Hello, this guy.
Man, if the head coaching job doesn't work out, at least he's got a backup career as a motivational speaker.
Speech writing.
The third Saturday in October or the third week in October. So whether you're on the Tennessee side or the Alabama side, kind of all the old heads, so to speak, this is the rivalry. This is the game. So, yeah, I grew up watching it. I had the opportunity to play in it. I've had an opportunity to coach in it now on both sides. So this week does kind of get you going right there.
I want positivity.
I'm ready to run through a brick wall. The coach is fired up. Look out, Saban. Look out, Tua. Look out.
Who's their offensive coordinator? Is it Sarkisian again?
Yeah, yeah.
Look out, Steve. Look out, RPO.
Isn't it funny? Their offensive coordinator is the guy a lot of people, when we brought up on the show, you were kind of in on Sarkisian there for a little bit.
I was full Sarkisian.
Alabama's offensive coordinator, as they're scoring 59 points in conference games.
I mean, you put
games.
The alcoholism behind him. He's a good coach.
And
everyone has their demons, David.
And people were like, no, don't want.
I don't know why. Guy's a hell of a college coach. He's a hell of a coordinator, not a good head coach. You know, being drunk on the sideline on a Thursday
not
night
a good
game,
look.
It'll do
good
it for
look.
You. It was raining that night. It was probably chilly. He was just trying to stay warm.
A little vodka.
Thickens the blood.
A little Russian plan.
Sarkisian. That sounds like maybe Norwegian.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sarkisian.
I'll look that up.
Jump
yeah,
right on that,
if
baby.
You can find me the origin of Sarkisian.
We need to find out what really gets under his...
Steve Sarkisian. Sarkisian. How do you say it? Is it Sarkisian or is it Sarkisian?
Sarkisian, isn't it?
Sarkisian, right?
Sarkisian? Z-ian?
What do you think, Billy? Is it
Western Armenian.
Armenia? Really?
Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah. Sarkisian. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah. I think we got
Sarkisian.
Nailed that one.
Sarkisian. The shark.
Yeah, Tennessee fans are going to try and be tempting him during the week. Fall off the wagon.
Drunk. Sark. Drunk. Sark. Maybe he'll be drunk this weekend. It's a late
That's
game.
What I'm saying.
It's a late game.
That's what I'm saying.
Like 7 o'clock rolls around. He's like, golly, I'm bored as hell.
I mean, it is on the road.
Well, at that point, he might be going through withdrawals.
Tennessee fans get down there like on Thursday night in the RV.
Drop some Trulies off in front of the coach's office if you're heading to Tuscaloosa, if you don't mind. Just, it looked like a, maybe he switched to LaCroix.
Thinks it's the bubbly water. Yeah.
This is bad. The guy's trying to get off the wagon, and here we are. I feel terrible.
Yeah.
But seriously, the rosé would probably
dupe, alcohol.
Probably dupe him
it's
into
like
a drink or two.
It's like a high grab almost.
Yeah, just tell
it's
him
like
it's a
draft beer.
Say it's a LaCroix. You can't taste the alcohol in this.
Switch out his water with volunteer vodka.
You really can't.
I'm pretty thirsty. Going to go grab a Gatorade bottle.
I think he'd
bottle.
Be able to tell that.
He's like,
baby.
Tastes all right to me. Yeah, when it's cold, you can't really taste it. Make sure they ice that bad boy.
On the rocks.
You can't tell the difference between cold vodka and water?
No.
It's all the same.
You may have a problem.
I'm just kidding.
That'd have been bad. We'll come back to the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio.
Yeah.
Stick with us right here.
That gets you fired up right there. What is it? Get you going right there?
This will
get you. If that doesn't get
so
you going,
this right, week does kind of get you going right there.
I need that like audio. I'm going to find it during the break. This week kind of gets you going right there. Ready to go.
Ready to
brick go. Wall. Truly, Sarkisian. Let's go.
Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Talking a little Tennessee, Mississippi State, and into Tennessee, Alabama, I guess. I guess we don't really have to do that too much until tomorrow, but Jeremy Pruitt did talk to the media at his noon press conference yesterday, and then the next couple of, today's practice, tomorrow's practice, they'll have individual periods open for the media, and then obviously he'll talk to the media on the normal schedule on Wednesday, and then he'll have Vol calls as well. But glad he's fired up for the
gets him going right there.
Third week in October, as he said, or third Saturday in October, he said both. So glad he's fired up, ready to go,
focused and prepared.
He didn't know Tennessee had orange pants.
I saw that. Went to Hawk, said, "Do we have orange pants?" Hawk said, "Yep." He said, "Well, let's wear them." Said it gave him, they just wanted to mix it up a little bit.
Hmm.
It worked.
But we just changed it up.
Yeah, he really knows how to fire up those guys.
Mm-hmm. Those orange britches.
Hey, don't wear them Saturday.
No?
No. No. Just stick with the...
They might be good luck. Just wear them till you lose.
Then we'd be done wearing them after Saturday. Save them for South Carolina.
Maybe just wear them at home.
Yeah.
The rest of the year.
Why not?
It's home games.
All the home games are very winnable.
That's true.
Orange pants. It could be the thing going forward. On the road.
Just, but, you know, not
just
Alabama.
Not this, yeah, just not this one. Missouri?
Maybe. What do you think?
Kentucky?
Depends on how you
break them out. Break them out. I would absolutely wear them the rest of the way until you lose. Not this weekend. It's amazing. A little thing like that just fired guys up, you know. I was stunned when I saw the highlight and they were wearing them. I was like, well, hot dog. Orange pants.
Yeah.
I didn't think Pruitt was going to.
He thought he was just all classic.
Well, he said.
Well, they are kind of a classic.
Yeah, he said, you know, growing up, he remembered seeing Tennessee in orange and orange from time to time. Not all that often. So I do wonder, moving forward, if that's in the game plan for, you know, uniforms. We're going to wear the orange pants more. We'll see. Good job on him. Asking if we had them and stuff. Yeah, he doesn't seem like a big what are my options guy when it comes to the uniform. Now, I'm really not surprised he had no idea. Sounds about right.
Just no clue.
Mm-mm.
He just walked in when he first got here and said, "Hey, all that gray stuff, just get rid of that.
Get rid of these white cleats. And we're good."
You think they asked him about the no stripe from the jump and all
probably,
that stuff?
Probably, yeah.
I do feel like he's in there working on his recruiting board or whatever, and somebody just walks in with maybe like a storyboard, like a sketch or a quick picture that they just snapped of one of the players throwing on the uniform. They're like, "Coach, these good?"
"No. Those are okay." But he didn't even know we had orange, so that wasn't on the sketch.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was just when he took over last year. They just brought in the orange and the whites.
Yeah, I think last year, if I'm not mistaken, we didn't have orange pants.
No, we didn't?
Not for the whole team. We had the old orange pants with the stripe on it, but I don't think they had got them in from Nike yet.
Oh.
So I think this offseason, maybe they ordered the pants in orange or something. I don't know.
So they just ordered them, having no idea whether the head coach...
That's how it works over there.
Just, like, who signed off on that?
I don't know.
Like, they didn't know if the coach would even want to wear them. He didn't
even know
he had them.
Or maybe Nike had a deal like, "Hey, in year two, we'll give you two colors."
It's weird. It's okay.
Or year five.
It's funny. He even started this answer with, "I'll be honest. I didn't know he had orange pants."
Doesn't that mean he's lying?
Usually, yeah. Typically,
he knew. He knows. He keeps good inventory. He knows about the stock. But, yeah, I'd say wear them the rest of the way, barring this weekend.
It made for a great soundbite, Trey Smith.
Orange britches. Anything, I mean, okay, you ask me, I'll ask you. Would you rather be 17-3 heading into the fourth quarter, or would you rather see the offense score points?
I'd rather score points.
Yeah, me too.
I think Alabama's offense is so good that even if Alabama scores a lot, you can just chalk it up to, Alabama, on to the next one. Let's stop South Carolina. But if you can score a lot of points, it keeps the momentum going from the Mississippi State win.
I agree with that.
A little bit better.
I'll disagree. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I completely am against that mindset, but if you're only 14 points down to Alabama going into the fourth quarter, give me that scenario.
Well, we still said you're going to lose by like 28 at the end.
Still, I can buy the idea of, yeah, we just finally got worn down. We know we don't have a whole lot of depth at that point, but if you could stick with that team for three plus quarters and then they finally just pile it on you.
But you haven't done anything on offense. I mean, you understand the
I'm used to
ways.
That.
Okay.
Neither have they, relatively speaking, in this
right
scenario.
To their to their measuring point. Stick to their, you know, that's what Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt both say. Like, don't worry about the score; just play against yourself.
It's
like,
true.
How well can you play?
And I also, like, if I'm not scoring points against Nick Saban's defense, I feel all right with that. He's the best coach in college football.
Yeah, I mean, you can
probably
spin
in
it,
history.
You
so.
Can spin it either direction. I mean,
I
you can say it that way, or points. You can say, well, their offense is so good now that. Who cares if we're not really stopping them? I still think we can stop other teams. Pruitt wasn't – he actually gave the offense a lot of credit as he talked, but on the but kind of said the defense could have played better even from Saturday against Mississippi State.
Okay. I mean, you shut down one of the best running backs in the league. I mean, shut him down.
I think that's more of just him grading the defense harder.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to – and he's going to do that naturally.
Right.
That's his group. That's his baby, so to speak. So it makes sense that he would – he's probably pretty upset by that touchdown drive. Didn't they have a 3rd and 20 on that drive that they converted?
Did they?
Maybe it was a penalty.
I don't know.
I thought they got into the 3rd and super long and then somehow converted it.
Yeah, he wanted to focus on Tennessee's, you know, really long drive that obviously capped the game off, which, you know, kind of give the offense credit for that one. And that's Garantano. And
which makes sense. That was, I mean, everybody wanted to dog him when he said Garantano's going to win us a game this year.
Oh, I did. I'll take it. I thought that was a ludicrous thing to say.
And he was absolutely right.
He was.
Yeah. That's why he's the coach, Nate.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And you're just a
just a guy behind a microphone.
That's it.
That's why I'm behind the microphone.
Not on the headset.
Right. Yep.
Shame on you for doubting the leader of our program.
What was the score when JG came in?
10-3? Or was it 13-3?
If it's 13-3, you could still say.
Oh, you're going to do the soccer thing? We're like, yeah, we won 4-1, and the second goal was the – gets. I mean, it's like an actual stat. The second goal is the game winner, like denoted as – because you see what I'm saying?
I do think that touchdown, though, I think it broke Mississippi State's back a little bit.
Oh, that drive was huge. No, I wouldn't diminish – what the offense did on that drive at all. Because when Tennessee got backed up, that was the one time the Mississippi State sideline was going nuts.
Yeah.
Like, they were, down 3, still plenty of time to get the ball back and either tie it up, send it overtime, or win the game. And their sideline was really fired up, and then all of a sudden the Tennessee offense just marched it, whatever it was, 90 yards for a touchdown.
It was 10-3 when JG
10-3
came in the game.
So he led us to 10 points.
He did.
Championship.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be like a no decision, I guess.
That's what veterans do.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, Pruitt said he's like a good three-point shooter just in a cold streak.
Yeah, he just got hot again on that.
You sit him down, bring him off the bench, Drano.
Make him make 5 passes before he shoots again. That's kind of like handing the ball off 9 straight times. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Just get out there and settle in, bud.
Mm-hmm.
It was 3rd and 9 on Mississippi State's 12. And they ran Tim Jordan. They didn't want to throw another interception in the red zone. Could have been more points.
We got 3.
Right. I'm just saying. It could have been.
Well, we said it yesterday, though. The game plan, just get down there, waste some clock, score some points.
You can't
rely on the defense.
You can't argue with the results. I mean, we can joke around it all we want or, you know, whatever. But if Mississippi State had come back and won the football game, the take of you got too conservative would have validity. It just would. But the fact that Mississippi State wasn't able to, I mean, you could tell, and I think logically, we talk about can we see the logic behind the coaching decision, right? Like even if Mississippi State had come back and beat you, we could go back to that moment and say, well, logically, it felt like Mississippi State was not going to be able to score, you know, whatever, 14 more points. And in reality, in this case, in this scenario, that's what happened. So the fact that you're up 7 and you say, you know what, Samaglia is not going to miss from extra point range. Let's not screw this up. Let's make sure we get a two-score lead. And if Mississippi State comes back and beats us, with us being up, you know, 10 in this state, then okay, that's fine. They did come down and score a touchdown, so they did the first half of that. But then your offense got another chance and made good.
Answered the call.
And the results?
Veteran redshirt junior quarterback.
Prove out that was the right decision from a coaching standpoint to just be conservative, take some points, you know, worked out. We'll come back. Final segment, Hour 1, Optimism Tuesday, 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one of the program. All phone calls today brought to you by the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. You can give us a call, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. You can find the Nextdoor Home Group online at nextdoorhomes.com and search the listings right there. It's nextdoorhomes.com. They want to help you buy or sell right here in the Knoxville market with more money left in your pocket. It's Eli Corum with Keller Williams and his team at the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. That's nextdoorhomes.com. Up first we have Matt. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Yo.
What is that?
What's up? This 0-18, guys. Y'all know what that is, huh?
Did you say 0-18?
Yeah, you guys know what that number is?
No.
It's assistant coaches against Nick Saban.
Oh, good. Oh. That's good.
Isn't that crazy, man?
Tuesday. Not really. Not really.
No, that's something.
All it takes is one time.
That's right. You know what I would do, guys? I would start tonight. It's Tuesday. You got 4 days till game day. Start playing Rocky 1 on Tuesday, Rocky 2 on Wednesday, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, and that team's got to be jonesed up after that, man.
Bum, bum. All four that, underdog that'd get you, stories. That'd kind of get you going right there.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, it was a good win. I'll tell you, I was pretty excited afterwards watching that video when they were cheering in the locker room.
Yeah, it was nice to see the guys with, you know, smiles on their faces and getting to celebrate. It's been we all know it, but it's been a tough start to the year. And for both sides to kind of, I don't know, answer the bell when needed on Saturday, that was a good team win.
Yeah, it was. Even seeing Coach in there involved with them was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it meant a lot to everybody. Maybe they can build off that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to beat Bama, but if you can, I don't know, yeah, if you can throw up 21 points and keep it a pretty close game. I'm going to tell you what, we'll see how good our defensive game plan is during this game. I mean, what do y'all think the number is we got to hold Alabama to? Is it 42 or 35 points somewhere in there?
To feel good about it at the end or what?
Yeah, to feel good about it.
Yeah, I'd say between 30 and 45, anywhere in that range, I'm going to be all right. Yeah. If you're in the 30s, I think you're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, lower than 40. I don't know. 40 feels bad. 30, that not so bad.
42 feels okay if you score like 21.
Okay.
What's the spread right now, 35?
34.5.
It's gone up.
It's gone up. 35. Went up, Matt.
Did it?
Yeah. Early money on Bama.
I mean, if you could hold them under 40, like, I would feel great because the lowest point total they've had this year is 42 against Duke.
And Duke scored three?
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only way you do that is to do what they did Saturday, and that's run the ball. You know, we got to control the clock, keep them from scoring. You know, I guess I am saying. I mean, I don't know if I'd really like the game plan Saturday, although it worked out. Like, I just don't. I'm not going to like that game plan against Bama. I mean, because you're not going to be able to run the ball like you did against Mississippi State against Alabama. So I don't see how they're going to be able to control the clock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're going to have to mix it up a little bit if they want to move the ball. I mean, I was surprised not only with the game plan, Matt, but that it actually kind of worked. Because I realize Mississippi State lost a lot off that defense last year, but they've still been pretty good. And I don't know, Tennessee just kind of stuck with it. You know, to the 9 straight carries at one point, it feels like you're kind of banging the head against the wall, but then you look up and you're moving the chain, so it's like, well, this is kind of working. Bama's rush defense is not what it has been. They're starting two freshmen at middle linebacker. Their defensive line is good. I mean, it's Alabama, but they don't have the star power, the kind of firepower that they've had in the past. I'll be interested to see what Chaney wants to do and what Pruitt kind of allows him to do this week. And, you know, not knowing the status of Brian Maurer, I don't think they're, you know, too interested in getting their quarterbacks beat up. I'd imagine you're going to see a lot of runs. But is there anything you can do to kind of mix that up and keep, you know, Alabama off guard a little bit defensively? I get it, man. Like, winning is probably not realistic, but can you shorten this game? Can you milk the clock? Can you pick up first downs running the ball and with quick passes and maybe get this to, you know, the third or fourth quarter before the dam breaks? Because I think eventually it probably will.
Hell, can you even make Alabama run some time when they do score?
Yeah.
I mean, that helps. Yeah. It sounds crazy, but.
Yeah, or keep them just, you know, maybe play a bend but don't break defense and let mm-hmm. them, you know, keep them on the field longer. I wouldn't be opposed to that, man. I hate saying that, using that term, but hell, it's Alabama. You know, I'll tell you what's crazy. Like you said, do more things to switch it up a little bit. Obviously, running off tackles is not going to work against Bama. But no. You got – what amazes me is we still don't get the ball into our – You see how good Tyler Bird is Saturday.
Man, I've been screaming that since he got here, Matt. If he doesn't know the routes, that's fine. If he's not a true receiver, okay. But those short passes, end arounds, pop passes, I don't know why we don't get him involved more. He's got speed. He's got the jukes. Like, just get the ball in his hands. Run Wildcat with Tyler Bird. I said move him to running back a year ago because I felt like he could see the field there. He gets the ball in open space. He made a really good turn on the catch. Like, completely juked the defense because, you know, everyone thinks he's just going to keep going inside. He spins it out, cuts it up the sideline, and look, I get it's Mississippi State, right? It's not an Auburn defense or a Bama defense, but he outran an SEC secondary. Like, that's good enough for me. Get him the ball now.
Yeah, and he's a pretty big guy, too. I mean,
yeah, he is. That's why I wanted to move him to running back. I'm like, he's 5'11". He looks like a beast. He looks like he's 210, 215. I don't know that he is, but he's just built like, you know, the kind of player that you want to get the ball to, and I just don't understand how it's taken this long to realize this is a guy who can make some plays for you. Just simplify the plan, get him the ball, and let him run around a little bit.
That makes me wonder. That's what makes me switch back to coaching, man. Not to be negative, it just makes me wonder if these guys can get – I mean, we've got so much talent on that offense. Like, it's crazy when you watch them when they just unload. Like, there's a ton. We got good running backs. Maybe not the wide receiver depth that Alabama has, but man, we're up there in the top three or four in the SEC with receivers, especially at the talent. You know, and those guys got the skills. You might even say Jennings might even be one of the best receivers in the SEC.
He is, Matt. So, and he probably shouldn't be. Like, I'm just saying, based on skill set, like I'd be interested to see, like, in a combine type setting, what he does in the shuttle, the cones, and the 40. But the guy's just a damn football player.
Yeah, he's just a big guy. Just makes plays. I mean, you can't tackle him with one guy. We can play physical with Alabama. We can. We just their offense. They're just a razzle dazzle team right now. They're good on both sides of the ball, but they spread it out. They score a lot of points. We got to play dirty, down in the trenches, beat them up football. If we can hold them to under 30 points, 35 points, I mean, y'all were talking earlier. I would take the low end on the scores. I would like this game to be as ugly as possible. A lot of turnovers, and just, you know, we'll see, man.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you want to get into Tennessee's best chance to win, because we were kind of talking about, you know, obviously Bama's going to win either way. If you're talking about best chance to win, yes, mess. Make one big sloppy game of this and then see if you can make a play at the end.
I mean, hell, the Citadel held them down for a half last
year. Okay, that's Alabama holding themselves down. Get out of here with that. You always go back to that one. That's Nick Saban proving a point.
Okay.
Didn't they trail at the half?
Alabama's only scored under 40 points five times the past two seasons.
Unreal.
So if you hold them under 40.
That'd be a great accomplishment. And against their defense, you might score 42. You never know.
Let's just throw it 60 times. Let's just air raid.
Let's just win 42-35.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right. We found it. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want to win against Alabama.
Yes.
Optimism Tuesday!